currently in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. It's on page 58 in the Black Bibles. Exodus chapter 17, and then also put your finger in Numbers chapter 20, and that's on page 129. So Exodus chapter 17, and then also Numbers chapter 20, which is page 129, amen. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 17 and Numbers chapter 20. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for another opportunity to come into your place of worship, Father God, that we might give you praise and glory, Lord. We just ask that you open up your word this morning that your people might hear and that your people might see and that we may all see who you are and what you continue to do, Father God. We just ask that you work your mind, work your word in our hearts and lives this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord put this message on my heart. I would say sometime last week, and it's essential for a child of God to know some things. You know, sometimes in life we go through things we don't understand. Sometimes things happen to us that we think should happen to someone else. We say, Lord, how can this happen to me? I've done all these things. I haven't done what's incorrect, but why am I going through what I'm going through? In reality, we must come to the understanding that God allows it to rain on the just and on the unjust. And most importantly this morning, we must understand that we never had problems with the devil until we got saved.
Amen.
We never had problems with the devil until we got saved.
Amen.
In our text this morning, we're going to learn the next step after deliverance. I'm going to tell you right now, it takes the blood. This message is titled, There is a Rock in Your Desert. There is a rock in your desert. Amen. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 1. Let's read. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. After their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people, that they almost be ready to stone me? And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Hebron, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place. The second time that I want to look at in the scripture, how many of y'all know the history repeats itself? God made provision for them the first time. And we ought to think that if God is able to make provisions for us one time, what should be able to stop him the second time? This next event takes place years later. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 1, I want to read it again. It says this, And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Sin, the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. This is Numbers chapter 20, and verse 2. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chose with Moses, speaking, Would God that we have died with our brethren, died before the Lord? And why have you brought the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? To bring us into this evil place. It is no good seed, or for figs, or for vines, or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went into the presence of the assembly, under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather the assembly together, thou with Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock, before their eyes, out of the rock, and so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded them, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, which must fetch water out of this rock. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Amen. Now in these two texts,
Jeremiah got to be quiet. This heaven's can't hear.
Jeremiah.
You're going to be quiet. I'll take him back to the room.
Hush.
Because I can't hear. Get up, get your service. You got to be quiet.
In these two texts this morning, we see the same thing. The same thing has transpired. It's the events that happen after God has set his children free. Not many days after, he has set them free from Pharaoh's bondage. 493 years they were under the bondage of Pharaoh. And if we remember in the scriptures, what did God have to do in order to set his people free? What did God have to do? He sent plague after plague. He sent famine. He sent locusts. He sent flies. He turned the Nile into blood. He sent earthquakes, hail. He sent all these things to show Pharaoh that he is God. And the outcome was this. The children of Israel were delivered. The last thing that God did is he allowed the firstborn of every one of Pharaoh's house to die. That was the catalyst. That was the last event that it took to wake up Pharaoh and to show that God Almighty is the only God. But I want you to understand, it was not without great effort on God's part. It was not without great power on God's part that his children were set free. And after such a mighty deliverance, after seeing God's power in such a phenomenal form as has not ever been seen today, his children were set free. These people experienced everything from beginning to the end. They saw everything happen. They saw Pharaoh, they saw Moses and Aaron, they saw God just working right in their midst. This great deliverance, the God that can call things as though they are not, as though they were. I want you to understand, God proved himself to them when they were in their hardest trial. He showed them that he was almighty and all-powerful. And we have to understand that we must have this understanding as Christians that the God we serve is all-powerful.
Amen.
And almighty. And by his mighty hand, they were delivered. Let me tell you something. Deliverance for us is free.
Amen.
Christ paid the cost for us to be delivered. The Lord worked many great miracles to cause Pharaoh to set his children free. And when they left Egypt, how many of you all know that it was a marvelous thing? The scripture says the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They went out with trumpets. We are talking millions. We're not talking 100 little Israelites. We're not talking 10,000. Millions of people at one time were set free to go out into the desert. And when they left, they knew that the next day they weren't going to have to listen to the whip or the crack. They knew the next day they weren't going to have to be told what to do by one of Pharaoh's taskmasters. And I can only imagine that they were rejoicing. I can only imagine what it was like in our country when slavery was abolished. Do you think that it was a quiet event? No, they were running. They were, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let us sing the songs of Zion. They were happy. They were excited. They were on fire.
Amen.
That's kind of like when we first got saved, right?
Amen.
When you first get saved, you're happy. You're on fire. You're excited. You're ready to go. There's nothing that can stop you from telling the whole world about Jesus. You're just pumped up. You, Jesus saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because you had just experienced a mighty deliverance. You had just experienced firsthand the power of Almighty God. Whatever bondage you were in, drugs, alcohol, lust, pornography, you had experienced the mighty power of God, and you were ready to go.
Yeah,
you to a place to where you can trust in nobody but Him.
Amen.
He will take you to a place to where you don't have comforts, to where you don't have your garlic and your scallions and your leek and your comforts. He will take you to a place to where you have to solely rely upon Him so that He can establish His relationship with you. Your relationship with God has to be established upon trust. So He brings you into a desert. He brings this millions of people into a desert because He has to bring them away from where they can trust in themselves, to where they can trust in their neighbor, to where they can trust in their belongings. He has to bring them to a place to where all they can do is cry out to Him. Now imagine you're thirsty. There's no McDonald's. There's no rest stop anywhere in the desert. There's no place to sit down and get you a big icy to drink. Imagine there's no toilet, no fresh running water. There's probably some babies with some dirty diapers. They can't shower. There was no way for them to be cleaned. I bet it was a stinky group. And they begin to murmur and complain. Now, I don't think for a second that some of the men said, well, let's dig. We'll find water. Let's dig. Let's dig a well. I'm sure there were people that were trying to provide for themselves. I'm sure before they started coming to Moses, they had tried everything in the book. They might have dug wells. They might have dug ditches. They might have took their little fork trying to find water. But when everything else was exhausted, they started saying, Moses, how dare you bring us out of this land of Egypt where we had water, where we had good ground for seeds and pomegranates? How dare you bring us into this dry place to kill us? We have no water. They begin to argue and to complain. Now keep in mind the deliverance that they had. Keep in mind what God had brought them from. Amen. Keep in mind what God had shown them with His mighty power. They couldn't deliver themselves. And you have to understand this. If you can't deliver yourself, if you cannot deliver yourself, you cannot take care of yourself. Okay. You cannot provide for yourself. You cannot make a way for yourself. The same way in which we started the relationship with God is the same way we have to finish it. We started by God's work. And it'll be finished by God's work. All we simply have to do is trust in the Lord from beginning to end, and when we're done, we'll be in the promised land, because God was bringing them from Egypt through the desert with the goal being the promised land.
Amen. Amen.
But we have to learn the process in which God works. He doesn't just take you from deliverance to the promised land, because that's nothing. You have no relationship. He takes you through 40 years so that you can have a relationship that when a trial comes, that when a situation arises, no matter what it might be, instead of being distressed, instead of being perplexed, you simply say, God, I need water. I know that you are the one that can provide it for me. And that's exactly what God will do.
Amen.
But God has to teach us this relationship of trust. A mighty deliverance, amen. And we find Moses going to the Lord in the first event, saying, Lord, this people is at the point of wanting to stone me. This people is at the point of wanting to kill me. Now, how many of you have looked at a rock and said, there's water in that?
No.
Who in your right mind is out on a hiking trail and said, man, I sure am thirsty. Let me go pick up this rock and have some water. Anybody think like that?
No.
Now imagine Moses. We're not told how big the rock was. We're not told it was a pebble or a stone. We're simply told it's a rock. You know why? Because the rock is the type of Christ. The foundation. It's a type of strength. It's a type of security. It's a type of God. Amen. So we're not told too much about this rock, but all I know is when God tells you to do something, no matter how silly it might be, we have to do as Moses did, exactly as he was commanded, amen. We can't question God. We can't say, well, God, it doesn't make sense to me that I should tap this rock and water should come out. It doesn't make sense to me that a God who was holy and righteous should put his hands around a never been known that water comes out of a rock, and do what I say, because when I say it, it's what's going to happen. Strike this rock, hear twice, and there's going to be water. Not just a trickle. Not just a drip. Not just one little dab of water. So much water to feed and to give to millions. Cattle, cows, oxen, bulls, men, women, children. Imagine how much water it takes to sustain millions. When God comes through, He doesn't come through with just enough. When God comes through, He doesn't come with just enough. He comes with more than what you could have possibly ever expected. But we have to learn from this lesson that when we are going through a situation and everything's going wrong, we can't just try to make it better in our own self. We have to ask God how what to do. We have to get His instruction. We have to take our petitions to the Lord and allow the Lord to tell us what to do. You see, the people, they went to the wrong person. They went to Moses. They went to their leader. You know, if people put their trust in the leader of this nation, we'll fail. But if the leader of this nation has sense enough to you like Moses and take it to God, we will prevail. Amen?
Amen.
You see, we have to learn today that we shouldn't complain. No matter what God chooses to do to us, no matter what God chooses to bring us through, it is better, listen good, it is better to be delivered than it is to be in bondage.
Amen.
It is better to be delivered than it is to be in bondage. You see, when you're delivered, it's not going to be easy. God must first teach you to trust. He must first teach you to pray. He must teach you to trust in Him and come to Him with everything, big, small, and to break the attitude that we have that we can do something to improve our situation. We must learn that no matter what it is, to not complain. Whatever the lot, whatever the circumstance, we must learn not to complain, but to praise. Lord, I understand that You've got me going through this situation. I don't know why You've got me going through it, but I know that all things are going to work together for the good of me. So, Lord, I'm just asking that You strengthen me in my time of desperation, that you come help me get through this situation. And don't you know, God will honor that. But the moment we start trying to go backwards instead of forward, you see, a new convert, when they get saved, as I said, they're all excited. Everything's going great. They want to serve the Lord. But when God gives them a little bit of desert, they think that they are deserted.
Yeah.
When God brings them to a little bit of desert, the first thing they want to do is run back to where they came from, because that's what's familiar to them. But God's got a long journey from bondage to the promised land. He's got to bring us so far away from where we once were that we don't look back anymore, but that we press on forward to the mark of the high calling which Christ has called us to. He has to bring us so far away from the desert that we so far away from our bodies that we can't remember what it was like anymore. Because He replaces the bondage with the memories of His trust.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's good.
He replaces the memories of our bondage with the memories of His trust, the things that God has shown us. How many times has God worked for you? Back in 1999, God did this. He brought me to Bible college. Back in 2001, I was better off than I was in 1999. And back in 2002, I couldn't even remember what happened in 2001 because God had done so much more that all my memories had been replaced by grace.
Amen.
God has to give us a desert so that we can forget.
Thank you, Lord.
And trust. He has to give us time to get away from our comforts so that He can bring us the manna, bring us what is necessary for us. Amen.
Amen.
There is
a
rock in your desert. As I said, we're all going through things. We don't understand why. if he did it in the book of Exodus, and he did it in the book of Numbers, he can do it in the book of Tanya, he can do it in the book of Miss Evans, he can do it in the book of Angela, he can do it in the book of John, he can do it in the book of Mr. Lack, he can do it in the book of Adam, he can do it in the book of Jeremiah and Leah, because we are his workmanship, he is the author, he is the finisher, and right now he's writing a rock into your life. He's saying, guess what? I know I brought you a long way, Tanya, but I know I put you in a desert for a little while, but I've got good news. There's a rock just around the other corner. There's a rock ready to give you what you need. Angela, I know you've had a rough situation, but I just want a rock. I just want a rock there in your pages. All you have to do is say, God, I'm ready to go to the next place. God, I'm ready to go to the next valley. And God, guess what? When I get there, I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to remember all that you've done for me. It's going to remind me that you brought me out of here. You brought me out of the pit. You brought me out of here. And guess what? You are able to keep on doing it. So I'm going to trust in you.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, there's a rock written in the book for you this morning. There is a rock.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good.
I know you've been crying.
Yeah.
Say, Lord, why is all this happening? There's a rock. All we have to do is trust.
Amen.
All we have to do is say, God, you've done it in the past. See, God likes to be told what he's done. So I don't know if any of y'all know this or not, but God likes to be told what he's done. He likes to be told of all the wonderful things that he's brought and done in your life. That's why he said praise. Bless the Lord. How we bless the Lord, we remind him of what he did.
Amen.
Lord, you know what you did in me? I just want to thank you for that. And Lord, you did that for me. And next thing you know, before I could even get done with the last blessing, you just blessed me again. And now there's just so many, and the praises go up. And as we begin to praise God, you ever just told somebody, let me show you how this works. Pastor Wall, you are so nice. You have helped me so much. And man, I just want to thank you for praying for me. I want to thank you. Don't you feel better about yourself? Oh, Tom, you are so sweet. I'm so glad you brought me to church. You are the most beautiful person in the whole wide world. I want to thank God for what he's doing in your life. You really helped me. Don't you feel like a better person? Doesn't make you want to keep on doing. And Angela, I want to thank you. The way you just gave me those candy bars, like me, I was really hurt and I was really nice, but you were obedient to the Lord. And what you did just made me feel so much better. And I want to thank you for who you are and for your testimony this morning. It's what I need to hear to stop lying. And God's really working. You just keep it up, young man. And Mr. Lass, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness. Come to Bible study every Tuesday, even though I might not even be on the phone. It really encouraged me to know that you are a rock in this church. And he said to himself, I want to thank you for your faithfulness too. And without you here, it's just not the same. But when I see you every day, I just start seeing the Lord in my life. And before you know it, when we start praising God, when we start telling God, you opened up the Red Sea, you gave me manna in the desert, you sent the Son of God free on the cross, he says, well, guess what I'm you now? Guess what I'm you now for you? Since you delivered all those things, I'm going ahead and give you another rock.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Another rock. You see, he provided a rock in Exodus. He provided a rock in Numbers.
Amen.
I think it's funny that Scripture says that he led them through the wilderness of sin. He led them through the wilderness of sin in Exodus, and then Numbers to the desert of Zin. I think if it was in another text, if the scriptures say he led us through the desert of Kin, because we are kinsfolk now, amen.
Amen.
We are God's children. What a great Savior we serve, amen.
Amen.
There is a rock in your desert. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
You may be going through a desert today, but the end result is the promised land. You see, Moses, he was told in Exodus to smite the rock. That's what he was told to do. In Numbers, he was told to speak to the rock. And because Moses didn't hearken to the Lord correctly, he smote the rock twice in the book of Numbers. And by that one transgression, God didn't allow him to go to the promised land. Because the rock again is a type of Christ. He was beaten but once. We don't need to continue to beat Christ. We simply ask. We say, Lord, I need some water today. Lord, I need a financial blessing today. Lord, I need help with my family today. We don't have to hit the rock. He's already been broken for us. All we have to do is ask. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, you may come. If you need a rock this morning, I assure you, it's been written in your book. Trust in the Lord this morning.